minutes after 11 o'clock. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Brady Hall. We got Angela Million on the other side of the bulletproof glass, ready to rock and roll today. I don't know. Sometimes the headphones are weird. Sometimes they're like, Clark blares them up in here, doesn't he, man? It's crazy.
Well, yeah, and then Brian was there earlier this morning.
Yeah, that's right. Tanner's stuck out in Amish country. I mean, they don't plow the roads out there?
I guess not. He called me. I was, getting ready to come in at like 5:20.
Yeah.
And I get a call from Tanner, and I'm like, oh, God, what happened?
Something
wrong. He's like, hey, I'm snowed in. I won't be in there, so let's get the remote set up. So get there early. I was like,
now,
okay, let me get here and then wake up Micah, because I don't know how to do all this stuff yet, so... We got it going, though.
You got it going. Yeah, it's fine. I always give Tanner crap because, of all of us here, he has his vehicle's bigger than the station.
Yep.
So I always give him a hard time. I'm like, you're the farm kid, man. You purchase vehicles for these reasons.
Go out and do donuts and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, man. Ride a cow in from the farm country or whatever.
Do that.
But I guess, like, your boy Cody Wilson, there is, like, a distinct line between where we had snow and crazy weather and not really here in Greeley or I'm in Timnath. I mean, it was just windy, just crazy wind without the cool snow. So that's the worst part about these snowstorms is like we don't even get the cool stuff where I'm at. We just get the wind and it wakes you up and it's trash day today. So
yikes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, do you have to put the, you don't have to put, you're a department, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about, you take your trash out, put it in a dumpster.
Yep.
It's not your problem once it's in the dumpster.
Well, it's a problem when the trash picks it up at 7 a.m.
And wakes.
Not really
and you're
awake
not,
yet.
And you're not ready.
Yeah.
See, when you buy a house, it's something you don't think about, because I was a farm kid, too. We would, burn trash, whatever, get rid of it. And then I was at a condo forever, apartments forever. And you don't think about trash day. You just don't. It's not a thing. The trash can is full. You go take it out. That's it. And then you never even think about it again. Once you buy a house, trash day becomes like a thing.
It's a very important thing.
Every single week, you're like, are we going to make it? It's overflowing. What are we going to do? I don't want to have extra trash that I have to put out on the side of the road.
Well, then you forget it.
You forget.
On trash day.
You do. Luckily, the cool thing about the neighborhoods are you look around and you see everybody has it out. So you never want, like, if you're the first one, then you might forget. But if you walk outside and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, and then you run back. And then, we have a box trash can and stuff, too, so you can look and go, okay, he's got two out, so that makes sense for me. I'm going to run inside, grab both of them, and cart them on out there. But it is every single week, man. It's like, are we going to make it to Tuesday? Because it's full. I can't shut the lid. What if it's windy? What if the weather's bad and the lid pops open and then all of our trash is all over people's yards? Those are real things that you never thought you would stress about.
These are the issues
every week.
You don't know about.
You don't know about these issues, and they happen every single week. And I look at my wife typically on Friday, knowing that Tuesday's the day, and I say, babe, we can't put anything else in the trash can. We got no more room. You know what that means? I usually end up stuffing about 3 to 4 more bags in there. When I say that there's no more room, that means 3 to 4 more big bags of trash is coming.
There's always room.
Oh, there's... And then that's the word when you're on top of it and you're like, you're jamming it down. And my father-in-law's like, dude, we can take it out. We can take it to the dump somewhere. I was like, no, I am not going...
We can sit and reorganize everything. We can make it fit.
Yeah, I'm not going to invest the time to load up trash... And then drive out and dump it somewhere. I just got to figure this out. I got to reposition the trash in this thing. But then when you hear the wind and you put the trash can out, now on my mind all day, I'm texting my wife, like, is it okay? Are we good? Has it fallen over yet? And those are ridiculous things that you stress about. Not like Nathaniel Hackett stressing about whether he's going to have a job or not.
Well, you want to talk about repositioning trash.
Oh.
We can discuss the Broncos.
Oh, man. It does seem like, though, after the game Sunday, we've all kind of changed our tune a little bit. I pay attention to what others are saying and writing and things like that. Are we seriously, like, collectively thinking that Nathaniel Hackett's going to be here next year? And I got to thinking about it more and more last night after the show. And I think so, man. Does it make – now, everything I'm hearing out of Seattle, and we heard this with Mr. big-time guy that follows these teams and Mr. Hugh Millen and all that stuff, guys that I've covered and talked or discussed with, and they've all said the same thing. It is kind of difficult to work with Russ. And what we saw this year was Russ departing from Pete Carroll, and it's been kind of growing pains all season. Do you really want to restart that this year, knowing that, okay, you're going to have to find, whether it's, you know, Dan Quinn or whatever. I mean, I'm hearing Harbaugh's name thrown out there, too, out of Michigan. And, I mean, is he coming back to the NFL? He's making like $8 to $9 million. That's not NFL coach money, is it? We're looking at 4 or 5, aren't we?
It's such a different game as an NFL coach to a college football coach. There's different things that make either one challenging. But if Michigan goes and wins a title this year, I could see him saying, all right, I did what I needed to do.
And
they
came might.
Back to my alma mater, won a championship. Beat Ohio State. Let's go back to the NFL.
And he might very well do that. I mean, that's a great point because, you know, when you've done it all. And
he's
again,
been in Michigan for a long time, too.
Well, in college, it's weird. It doesn't seem like it, but at the same time, it does. And college is changing. I mean, the NIL stuff, do you want to – it used to be college was not necessarily easier because you still had to deal with recruiting and all that stuff. But – And you look at the NFL, it's like, well, now I got to deal with personalities and guys that are making quadruple what I'm making. And Patrick Mahomes is way more important in Kansas City than Andy Reid. Those are just the facts. At Michigan, Harbaugh is the most important guy. Most of the time, the head coach of your program is the most important guy. But now it's kind of changing with the NIL landscape where I mean, it is what it is. It's starting to feel a lot like the NFL, isn't it? Dude, I'm hearing
it's even more than the NFL. It's more challenging than the NFL.
Did you see what's the Washington State head coach? He came out. Check that out, so you can find. There's a press conference he did, and he basically said that coaches within the conference, and I wonder who that would be, he has called parents of his current guys, and these parents have told him that current coaches in the Pac-12, whether that's head coach or assistant coach, he didn't give names, are actually calling these student athletes that are with teams already and kind of loosely offering them NIL deals, NIL money. Basically saying, hey, we know for a fact we got this lined up. If you come over, you know, you'll be a part of that. So that's happening. So you can see it if you're Harbaugh, do you start looking at this situation and go, I've done it all here. I'm going to go win this championship. Do I want to mess with that stuff, with the NIL, the constant transfer stuff, which he wouldn't have to worry about as much being at Michigan, but you have to worry about it a little bit. I mean, Nick Saban had to deal with Jalen Hurts transferring, and that was bad for him because you just lost. He was the best backup quarterback in college football. So you had your insurance plan, and because of transfer rules, you lost your insurance plan. And listen, it was better for Jalen. I'm not complaining about that. But so Harbaugh's name's coming up. College coaches' names are going to start coming up because it's a brand new world. I've heard stories from coaches that I know that's like a way different conversation that they're starting to have now with players and parents.
Oh, and the NIL stuff, we were so worried about how is this going to affect the high school recruits. We didn't think about much about the current student athletes that are freshmen or sophomores at a school, and they're getting these under the table kind of deals and, you know, promises and handshakes, and it could get out of hand really bad. And this isn't a shot at CU or Coach Sanders or anything, but he's kind of taking advantage of that.
He's taking advantage of it. It's like I've always said this with college sports. I mean, it is what it is. It's there. What they allow or loosely allow. If you're not taking advantage of it, you're going to be behind. You're going to lose jobs. This is why I respect Ted Boyle so much. And I don't know how – I know he's not a big fan of all this stuff, all the NIL stuff and all the transfer stuff. But he's always seems to do the right thing. And there's a lot of coaches that seem to do the right thing. But how hard is that to do the right thing? Like, it can't be legal, right, what the Washington State head coach is saying? If what he's saying is true – that college coaches within the conference are reaching out to players and basically offering them deals while they're on a team, that can't be legal.
Well, that's kind of what Saban had accused Jimbo Fisher of doing earlier this year with the at Texas A&M, and there was a video that came out about a bunch of like high school players. You know, it's different than transfer players, but they're walking around the field, and one of their tour guides is saying, "Hey, all these boosters up there, they're the one that are giving you the money," and it's like, and we talked about on the show, like, you can't bring in a sponsor or say, "Hey, if you come to our school, we have this deal signed up for X amount of dollars. You're going to do X, Y, and Z for this company, and we're going to pay you that if you come to our school." Before they're even out of high school, before they're even in the transfer portal, before the season's even over, that these conversations are going on. And it's tampering to a level that we have no idea how big it is because we can't see it.
Well, and you can't control. I had a coach talk to me once. Basically about, if a player transfers and leaves and you're doing an NIL deal with him and then he leaves and then you say you're not going to pay him anymore because he left the college that you're supporting, that you can't do that. Why can't, what are you going to do to the business? What are you going to do to him? Like if a business says, I want to sponsor the so-and-so show and then so-and-so transfers out and isn't part of that school anymore and the business goes, that's why I was supporting you is because you were there. I'm not going to support you anymore. What's going to happen to them? They can't do that. It's a private business. NCAA can't come after them. It's a cancel contract state or whatever, an at-will state. So you can't control boosters necessarily. Now, yeah, you to some degree you can. I suppose the school could punish those NIL advertisers and say, well, because of what you did here, you can no longer be involved.
But they won't.
What we're doing? No, because of the money. You mean I'm going to tell these amazing businesses that are spending a lot of cheese with me that you can't be involved because you were using NIL recklessly? You were using it to promote. You were enticing players. You were doing stuff that we're not supposed to do. So therefore, we can't. No, they're not going to do that. It's getting out of hand.
Just reading up on this quote. It was Washington State head coach Jake Dickert saying, "We had guys contact our players' parents. We had a coach from another school contact one of our players and offer him NIL. A coach, you can't even imagine the things that are happening right now to try and pry our players away from this place. We have no idea what's going on." It might not just be a head coach talking to one recruit. It's this head coach who's talking to his old buddy coach that maybe he's not in the league anymore, but maybe he's kicking around out of high school or something. He knows this other coach, and that coach can get in contact with that player indirectly and say, "Hey, I heard along the line you might be able to get this money at this school. You should probably go."
Wow.
And the head coach has total deniability.
Yeah, I mean, what's to stop you from chatting at a bar as a head coach with a buddy, and basically the buddy's like, "How do we get these studs to play?" "Well, your NIL money, man. I mean, well, I've got a friend that could be throwing in some dollars there."
And how many of those boosters are doing the same thing?
I can let Billy Bob know. I can somehow let him know that we're looking. That they're looking to spawn. I mean, that's insane. And again, this I get frustrated with it because we go back to it, and I feel like if you just would have gotten behind this from the get-go, you could have started to edit this. You could have made this make more sense where it's not just absolutely pandemonium right now, because that's what it is. It's just, it's crazy. And this is coming from a guy that likes the NIL. I always said this, Angel. I've been doing a variation of this show for 10 years, and I always said, I don't think the colleges should necessarily pay the athletes, but they should be allowed to make money. If Johnny Manziel wants to sell an autograph, he should be able to make that money. But then now we're at this point where boosters can get involved. CSU just started their NIL, elective agreement or something like that. They've got a name for it now. I mean, it's just like right there on their site. Go to this website, click it, and you can donate some funds to NIL, and we'll spread that out. I mean, it's like you guys did the Colorado on Good Morning NoCo. We did the Colorado Gives Day. It's basically like you can call to donate, or you go to the website to donate. You get to pick your nonprofit. What I'm understanding is that this website you go to with CSU and probably other schools is you get to click on who you want to support, right? I mean, is that how it works?
By player or by team? Like, I want $500 for the volleyball team.
Yeah, I want to put $500 into the volleyball team, and I wonder if you can go individually. Probably not individually. It's just team-wise, and then it's up to the team to have to split that. It's hairy, man.
Oh, and it's different at different levels. Even both a Mountain West school and an SEC school, they're on completely different brackets in terms of NIL stuff.
Completely different. I mean, just way different.
Like CSU, you might be able to get 5-6 players sponsored on something.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama will have 30 kids that maybe they don't even play.
Yeah.
But they're getting deals just because of their school. And it creates such a parity of opportunity on all FBS and FCS levels.
Dixon says, Brady, if you recall correctly, I should be called Johnny Told You So Dixon. Not Johnny Told You So Rivera. Dixon, because this is exactly what I said would happen when you and I debated NIL when it first came out. Listen, I still think it's a good thing. It's not my fault that the NCAA doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Is that my fault? They're the ones that didn't do this correctly, and here we sit having this debate. I mean, it really is frustrating, and I get it. And I'm not saying you're wrong, Dixon. You saw this would come out. I just didn't realize the NCAA was so incompetent that now a good thing is going to turn into this. But what can you do? Can you basically say, hey, player, like 20 years ago, this should have been said, you cannot do an NIL deal without going through the school first. You have to come to the school. We have a little office set up. We got Billy, the NIL guy, and we're going to go through this process with you. And you have businesses you want to work with? Great. We'll have our sales team reach out to them and get them in. Kind of like what we're doing here, to be real honest with you. I mean, that's the way it should go. It's all above board. There's no under the table stuff going on here. The players, we've had Hooligans ask how it works here. Businesses pay us to advertise. We advertise commercials or we advertise businesses on the station. That's how we make money. It's how we stay in business. Well, essentially, they're paying the station, but they want a player to voice the ad. We used to have BJ Hill and Steve Smiley and coaches all the time voice ads. It was a part of their deals with certain advertisers that they were working with or sponsors. It's just happening with the players now. But it's above board. You can see, I mean, you know exactly what's going on. I mean, our records are wide open. KFK's records are wide open for people to see contracts that are happening. The stuff that's happening now, they didn't get out in front of. And they continue to do this. Mysterio says, like I've said before, college athletes are basically denoted as semi-professionals now. Well, that was the other thing. It's like, do you finally just call it what it is and say...
Can you give it a general term when it's not really balanced?
I don't know.
Like, is a student athlete at, you know, Alabama the same as a student athlete at CSU?
No.
They both play football. They're both students.
They're both eligible for bowls. Or right. They can go play in bowl games and do all that stuff. I did throw this idea out once. It's like, get rid of all the NIL stuff. Just get rid of it. And then say, you get a choice. You either get a full ride scholarship or you can get paid. You're an employee of the school or you get a scholarship. Listen, that's just an idea I'm throwing out there. I don't feel that confident about it just yet. I'm just throwing stuff around. But let's not sit here and pretend that what's the USC quarterback? I'm just blanking on the USC quarterback's name.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. He can't be in the draft next year because he's got to play one more year.
Yep.
He's got to play one more year.
He could probably sit out and still be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, but why does he have to play one more year? Because the rules. They want, you know, the NFL, and I know we got a break here. The NFL wants college. They want them to be the feeder system, so keeping them in college a little bit longer is a good thing for the NFL. So it's not just the NCAA, it's the NFL too. But it's like I look at Caleb Williams, I'm like, dude, you can go out and earn right now. You're good enough to go play. You're good enough to get an NFL contract right now, but you have to go back to school and take underwater basket weaving and Algebra 8 and, you know, geometry and geography, and you got to go back and take all these classes when it's like, dude, you could be a multimillionaire today if you could just get out. But no, we need you to come back and finish another year.
Well, teams wanted Trevor Lawrence after his freshman year.
Yeah.
And he played another 2 years because of it.
Yes. You got to be out for 2 to 3 years or whatever it is. All right. We got to take, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me. We got a new name for the MVP trophy in the NBA, and it's going to be the Michael Jordan. Is it just going to be the Michael Jordan MVP or?
I believe so.
So that's cool. And I want to talk about that more in detail coming up in the lunch rush, but Joker's going to get the first version of this. He's going to get the very first version of the Michael Jordan MVP award. That's pretty cool. Another bit of history for the Joker and the Denver Nuggets. The bad, Monday Night Football was boring. I thought it was boring. It wasn't a good game.
Well, after Kyler went out, it was kind of just you lost interest.
Yeah, and Cole, I mean, Cole was fine, but it's just like the line was so bad. It's just bad. It wasn't fun. I was right, though, so that's the good thing. I did say the Patriots were going to cover. The ugly is Kyler Murray. He's probably done, man. He's probably done for the season, and he's probably done for a good chunk of next season, too, because this is late in the year that he's getting this done.
Yeah, I obviously don't want to speculate, but it looks like, you know, non-contact, some kind of ACL, MCL, something with his knee. That just sucks to see a guy like that go down.
You never want to see it. All right, that's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, Banking Made Simple. For the first time ever, we're going to have the brand new UNC football coach, Ed Lamb, on the program coming up in about 5 minutes. So we're very much looking forward to that. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is up and running. Did the Nuggets make a mistake signing Michael Porter Jr. to a long-term deal? Somebody tweeted me and said, this is a dumb question, and then went on about why it's a dumb question. I'm like, that's the point of the Method Flow Products poll question of the day, bro. It gets you thinking.
I hate this. Here's an essay why I don't like it.
Yeah, if it was a dumb question, you wouldn't have responded, bro. All right, 26 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 31 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever on the whole show, brand new UNC Bears football coach Ed Lamb joining us. Pumped about this one. Susan and Cheryl love it. The live studio audience. Coach Lamb, thank you so much for giving us some time today. I told you I was going to bug you to get you on the program soon. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for following up. Glad to be with you.
Well, Coach, first off, you know, welcome to the area. And, you know, I loved your press conference last week. I thought that was very informative, of course. And it's a point where Bears fans are ready to see this. I know we're in December, but we're already ready to rock and roll and see what this looks like ultimately. But loved your press conference. That was a lot of fun last week.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed doing it. It's a chance to get the first messages out to the team and to the fans. And it's a special moment for me, too, just to acknowledge a change and the start of something new.
Okay, Coach. So what's this? What's it like right now? I mean, we always talk about it when coaches take over. You got to hit the ground running. I mean, it's moving to a new area. You know, you had talked about getting your new house set up and everything, but you're also right back at it. I mean, you're recruiting. You're talking to your current players, figuring out who makes sense going forward. I mean, it's probably just nonstop chaos for you at this point.
It is. I've got about 8 to 10 pages in a notebook right now, kind of a spiral leaf notebook, that each page is dedicated to some kind of process going on, whether it be recruiting or the logistics of moving away from one HR department and into another. There are staffing considerations. There are planning considerations for each of the aspects of the program, like strength conditioning, academics, the training room. And each of these kind of separate entities have a whole different task list. So I'm just kind of bouncing back and forth right now. It's a lot of fun. I've got a lot of new energy for the new tasks.
Well, and that's what a lot of our listeners are already asking. You know, what, looking at the coaching staff first and foremost, and I know there's a couple of names that we've seen out there already, and I asked you at the press conference, you know, what that looks like as far as the current staff. Can we expect some of those guys? And I know at the time especially, and even now, you're still sorting through all those. Guys are re-interviewing, or there's already guys in your head that as soon as you took this job, you knew you were going to give them McCall.
Right, exactly. I think everybody in our business, when you start thinking about being a head coach, you start to keep a list, whether it's on paper or mental. Mine's always been on paper. I've worked with a lot of different guys. I wish that I could give you some names, but there's a process that's outside of my hands as far as an official application through the university, and those hires that I would like to see happen have to be approved. And that's a pretty standard process. I don't think Northern Colorado's, you know, holding us back in any way that would be out of the ordinary. It's just a standard process that takes more days than you know, whoever designed it wasn't a football coach. Let me say that.
Isn't that the case sometimes? I mean, yeah. My goodness, you look at stuff and you're like, who did this here? UNC football coach Ed Lamb joining us on the program. And coach, I mean, you're no stranger to the Big Sky Conference. Of course, your experience at Southern Utah, you absolutely turned a football program around. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but Southern Utah perhaps has some of the same, you know, not the same facilities, but maybe some of the same issues going on where you look at this and say, man, I like the challenge. I see what UNC is dealing with here, and I'm really confident that I can come in here and we can turn this around like we did at Southern Utah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, probably everybody in FCS can relate to, you know, budget constraints. And that's one thing that I take a lot of pride in is just, you know, whatever the budget is, it is. I would like to see the university and the athletic department grow and the resources grow. But in the end, you know, to me, there's no success if we've got a group of coaches in different sports fighting over limited resource dollars. To me, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. And I think that football is one that can start the academic year off well with success and get the whole department excited. So I'm really keen on getting in, finding out what we've got resource-wise, and then making it work, whatever that is. And I think in that way, it's very similar to Southern Utah. There are other schools in the conference that have more money, but you know, in the comparison game, you know, there's one school out of 130 in the country that has the most, and that's not necessarily who's going to be the most successful. So it's a battle that I enjoy fighting.
Coach, one of your messages to your team, to the players right off the bat when you talked to the players was much different than the one we talked about down south with Coach Prime. He's saying, go ahead and enter that portal. And I really loved what you had to say was, hey, guys, you know, we don't want to build through that. We want our guys here. There's talented players on this in this program, and we want you to take a strong look at us and sticking around. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the difference of message there and what that meant to you to lay it out like that to your team?
Sure, yeah. And I saw Coach Prime's you know, press conference a couple of days before mine. And I think the thing that's most important for a head coach is just to be authentic and true to ourselves. And I really think that Coach Prime was doing that. And, you know, that's the way that he can best relate to players is by, you know, telling them that he's got, you know, the most exciting or smartest coaches, and he's going to bring in the most exciting or most athletic players, and he's going to do it from all over the country. And I think that's really is how he sees the game. It's just not how I see the game. I think that there is potential for growth and development in every person in the program. And to me, the fighting spirit that I want to develop inside of a team, it all has to do with the way that we treat each other. And I'm the leader of that. It starts with the way that I treat my staff, with the way that I treat my players. And I can't come in here and expect to develop a program like that, and then the first thing I do is get rid of a bunch of guys, and I hardly even know what they've been coached in the past or how they play.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too. And what you said, too, about relating to players, that's kind of the name of the game these days. Obviously, coach, to get to where you are, you have to know football. You know the X's and O's. You know how to run a football program. But every single year, there just seems to be more and more changes to what we're seeing. NIL is at an all-time craziness factor. Transfer portals all over the place. But how do you navigate through that? I mean, I'm looking at it right now like, man, you got to recruit players, but you also have to bust your tail every single year to re-recruit players to try to convince those guys. So it was a never-ending job before. It seems like it's a never-ending job now.
It is, and that's where I really think that the authenticity and the true concern for not just the player's ability, but their potential and the fact that I'm committed to developing that potential, that's where I see is the opportunity in college football for those coaches who are willing to buy into that. I think, you know, you can do it with NIL, you can do it with transfer portal, you can do it with fancy locker rooms, but to me, just the way that I operate and the way that I see the world, all of those things don't matter as much as the people that are in our lives. I've seen guys in the fanciest locker rooms with the biggest NIL deals and the most talent fail. And I want to know why that happens. I've studied why that happens. And I've seen guys with very few or little or no recruiting, no other recruiting offers, no stars, be in small college places that have ascended to the top of the game and are playing in the NFL. And so to me, you know, what seems like everybody's looking at now, NIL dollars, fancy facilities, the ability to be ranked highly on 247 or Rivals and gather as many offers as we can around the country. I don't see a connection between that and success other than about five or six schools in the country.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, even we look at those and go, man, if it seems too good to be true, maybe it is. And just being a stabilizing force, which it sounds like that's the kind of coach you want to be, is what's going to stand tall at the end of the day as we progress through a lot of this. Coach, I know you've been asked about these guys too, but just a couple of names. And if you can't comment on them right now, that's totally fine. David Hogue, that's a big name that a lot of UNC Bears fans are asking about. Such a stud player, so many goals in front of him throughout the course of the year, but he gets hurt early on, so we were bummed to see that. But can you talk to us about some of those names, the Cassidy Woods, Jacob Sermon, David Hogue? How much can you tell us at this point?
Sure, yeah. I can just relate that David and Jacob have both reached out to me. We had good conversations. I was excited about their vision for Northern Colorado football. It really, you know, I'm the one that gets to come in and say, hey, here's our culture. Here's what we're doing moving forward. Here's how I operate, jump on board. But I really am very interested in how the players want this team to shape up. And their leadership really and buy-in is going to be key to the whole aspect of whether we can get this program moving in the direction that I'd like to see it. And so I was, you know, I was excited just to hear from them. They took the initiative. They reached out. David was at the first team meeting and participated in that, asked some questions, showed some leadership, and Jacob had already finished up his finals and was back in his home state, but he reached out by phone and seems very excited about what's going forward. Overall, there are so many players that I still haven't had the chance to connect with personally and probably won't until we get rolling in January, but that's what I feel like I do best, and it won't be very long before I know each of these guys, their face and their name and their backgrounds and what their goals are.
UNC head coach Ed Lamb joining us on the program. Coach, we don't have to backtrack, but, you know, again, some of these players and a lot of people in this community, their concerns were that kind of, you know, hey, at the end of the day, we didn't have those one-on-one conversations. And that some of that can be hearsay. We're not here to get into that necessarily. But the community, too, wanted to see more, you know, more outreach and all of that kind of thing. And that's how you build support. What are your plans to do there as far as building up that support throughout this Northern Colorado, specifically this Greeley community?
Well, I believe in that. Yeah, thanks for the question. When I took my first head coaching job, it was a completely vertical move in my career. I didn't really research how the previous coach had done things and just kind of became aware over time that the way I intended to do things or the way I was doing things was different. In you know, and not better or worse, but just different. And so that was kind of a boost for me confidence-wise and like, okay, well maybe if it's different and people seem to like it and respond to it, then maybe I have a chance to be successful. This time through, I'm very convicted about the way I want to run a program, the way I want to interact with players, the way I want to build a roster, my day-to-day operations, and who I put around me from a staffing standpoint. So I'm super excited to get rolling, and a big part of that is, like you mentioned, being able to respond to what the community needs. And so not being here, I don't know exactly what our opportunities are to get coaches and players out to speak to the youth or to, you know, be involved in service. Sometimes it's just service that's necessary. I remember once in Cedar City, there was a major windstorm, and the golf course in the spring had just opened. It's a municipal golf course, and it had just opened, but just branches were littered all over the course everywhere. And somebody mentioned it to me, and I thought, you know what, that'd be a great thing for the team to just go over there with 100 guys. We can walk that course, get a nice Saturday morning walk in, clear out a bunch of branches, and make a lot of people that like sports happy about what we do. And so that was just one opportunity, but as many things as we can do to get behind the community, show them that we support the community and we would like to see their support back. And I think that in the end pays dividends.
I think that's exactly what folks want to hear, Coach. And that, I love that story, too. I mean, you could knock that out pretty quickly there. And I might join you next year if you do that, because I'm not supposed to be on a golf course for golfing. I mean, it's just so bad. So if you need help cleaning up, man, I'm your guy.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll call on you.
Hey, Coach, last one for you. You must be watching games with my father-in-law, because you said, hey, stop talking about running up the middle. I'm going to run up the middle. Don't bring that up. I'm going to run the ball up the gut.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. We talk about making the defense defend every inch of the field, and so, you know, a lot of people say that, but then don't necessarily do it. And being a defensive guy, I know that, you know, if you're not testing every area of the field, pretty soon a smart defensive coordinator is going to start to deploy their resources where you attack, where your tendencies are, and so I think it is really important. You know, one thing that I didn't mention because it was half, you know, tongue in cheek and in jest is. You have to be successful and efficient in all of the areas that you're trying to attack. So hopefully those runs up the middle get a lot of cheers and excitement because they're working.
Yeah, no question about it, Coach. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know you on this program, getting to know more about your philosophy. And if you need anything from us, you know, us being the flagship station for the Bears, you just let us know. We love getting the word out about the University of Northern Colorado.
Well, thank you. I think you're already doing it. I appreciate the chance to get on with you today.
All right, my friend. Well, we'll talk soon. If the golf course cleanup things happen, and you know, give me a buzz. I'm there for you, Coach.
Count on it. Thank you.
UNC head coach Ed Lamb. And, you know, again, that's just one example of trying to get out in the community, and that's what you got to do as a coach, as a UNC head coach, as any coach really, is come up with those plans and, you know, I'm kind of excited to see what he's made of. 11:46 the time on, Joe. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 10 minutes until the top of the hour. It's Top Text Tuesday, by the way. So you can load up the text. Eastside Chris could actually take this thing. He could win the $50 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. He's the only one qualified right now because you got to win three. And he won on 11/22 and 11/29. Noob stopped it last week with a text. We've had Beginner's Luck. We've had Smitty, Dixon, Eastside Chris, and then Noob. So load up the text, man. Russell Wilson stuff. Poll question, nugget stuff. Ed Lamb was just on. Maybe a well-thought-out text about the new head coach for the University of Northern Colorado. And we're going to have way more detailed conversations with him in the future. Kind of just wanted to touch base with a lot of different topics as he the first time he was on the program.
Well, he's very much in transition right now.
Yeah, there's a lot to go through. I mean, he's buzzing, dude. There's a lot. You asked me during the break. You just asked. You know, how different was that from interviewing Ed McCaffrey? And Ed was nice and thoughtful and all that stuff. But I will say, you know, conversationally, yeah, so far so good. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and he throws in those little bits of, you know, background about him, you know, telling about the golf course thing.
And, I like that stuff.
You know, his philosophy for meeting with players, the players he has met with, and I tell you, he has a notebook full of things he has to do.
Yeah, he's got a lot. And again, he said it. I probably won't get to him until January. Some of these guys. I just won't. So it's holidays, all
they're
that stuff.
Break, all this kind of stuff.
It's nuts. So at least he's, you know, throwing it out there. 11:52 the time. We're going to take a quick break. Top Text Tuesday. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll talk about all, you know, all the goings-on in the sports world, locally, nationally, you name it. We'll talk about it next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Eleven fifty-six. The time. Welcome back into The Whole Show. That was a fun interview with UNC football coach Ed Lamb. It's just not flashy. He's not like a flashy guy. I'm not saying Ed, when you talk to him, Ed McCaffrey sounded like he was flashy, but his name was flashy. Doesn't it just kind of sound like Ed Lamb, though? Kind of similar to Jay Norvell in this sense. Because Jay Norvell wears like the gas station shirt to show that, hey, we're going to go work. Not kind of like Ed Lamb, like this blue collar, hey, we're gonna work hard. We're going to do the right things in the community. We're going to be stand-up citizens. And we're just going to go at it, man. One day at a time.
Your hardworking farmer type. And I know that's a part of his life with his horses.
Yeah.
And, you know, the planting asparagus that he does. So he gets that. He gets his hands dirty on and off the field and literally. And I really like his approach to his players and what he's walking into at UNC.
You think Tanner's going to be mad that I didn't ask about the asparagus thing?
I mean, Tanner could probably get him on his show and ask him.
Is he coming into work anytime soon? Is Tanner going to be here?
2 inches of snow. Oh, my gosh. My poor F-150 can't get through this.
I'm driving in today. I'm like, Tanner, the sun's almost shining in Greeley, man. I'm going to put my shorts on. No, it's really cold, actually. No, I do hope he's safe. 11:57 the time. Lunch Rush coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.